This is URN The Pulse.
You're listening to The Pulse here on URN, and I'm joined by Ben, Amy and Poppy, and we're going to be discussing a very wide range of stories today, from Black Lives Matter to betting on Donald Trump to win the election. But I'm first going to go over to Amy, who has a story about protesters in Nottingham, actually, over the Black Lives Matter group.
So, four Black Lives Matter activists have each been ordered to pay £155 in court costs after a three-hour protest, which was to promote the awareness of everyday racism. And this took place in August, and it was thought that this brought Nottingham city centre to a standstill. The campaigners have been convicted of unlawfully blocking the highway following a trial at Nottingham Magistrates Court. They used foam lock-on devices to link themselves and then led across the tram lines outside of the Theatre Royal. They've been sentenced to a three-year conditional discharge, with the judge stating that this obstruction was clearly very real in nature, with the tram and bus timetable suffering considerable disruption. So following this, I wanted to check what actually was the criteria surrounding a peaceful protest. And this is, you have the right to assemble and protest on the public highway without permission from the police, council or other authorities. Protesters are not committing any crime as long as they are peaceful and do not use violence or threatening behaviour. And protesters can assemble on the public highway as long as they do not completely block off rights of way. So the first question I wanted to ask was, should protests be limited to those that aren't disruptive in nature? And does this actually defeat the point of protesting?
So it was basically a peaceful protest then, because they didn't break any of the rules.
Yeah, they essentially just led on the tram lines. And the councillor claiming that this completely blocked the right of way, which technically is against the guidelines, but the protesters themselves are arguing that this spot was selected because it was the easiest place by which to divert traffic around it.
I mean, it's a fairly savvy move, because unlike if you lie in front of a bus is going to go round you. Mm-hmm. If you lie down on a tram line, the tram line can't go anywhere. It's like lying on a train track. So I think that, I mean, they, whatever excuse they use to say, oh, it's the most convenient place to have the protest, I'm fairly sure that they would have known that they're going to cause maximum chaos.
But that's the point of a protest, to cause maximum chaos.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what the rules are against.
Well, maybe not maximum chaos, but maximum attention, and it's very easy to get people. The thing is, I guess that's another kind of debate in this, is that yes, they're getting people's attention, but do you think a majority of it was just negative because people thinking, oh, you know, why are they disrupting my day through this?
Well, apparently the major reaction to it was on the whole positive. But kind of, I think the main interesting thing is, if you're not able to, by the criteria, have a disruptive protest, then isn't that the whole idea of making a change and a difference? Like, if you think about tube workers in London, they strike and protest because to create disruption so people notice about what they want to change.
You'd hope that the protest would get noticed and then people would then join you for having sympathy for your cause, rather than sort of join you because, I mean, the tube protests are a good example, because they basically held London and then to a certain degree the entire country to ransom. So I think that to a point you should, I mean, disruptive is shouldn't necessarily be the aim. I think to get noticed is the aim, and obviously they've done that because we're talking about it 3-4 months after it's happened.
And what was the sentence again, or has there been
they've been sentenced to 3 years conditional discharge, and they each have to pay £155 in court fines.
So, and
they
have conditional discharges,
I assume it's like bail almost.
Yeah.
As in, you know, if anything else happens of a similar nature, yeah, then.
So they haven't actually been fined. They've been given the court costs, which, I mean, has cost a certain amount of money, and because they have been found guilty, they've had to. But they haven't been fined in and amongst themselves, which makes it a relatively light sentence.
But still, that kind of like brings me on to my next question, which was, do you think that this kind of instance of people having to pay the court costs of being on this 3-year conditional discharge, do you think that'll discourage people from kind of trying to voice their opinions and make changes for the causes they believe in?
Well, I think it's interesting that in this protest we saw a kind of, not a backlash, but a consequence to it, when there's lots of protests like over, I can't remember if it's like road tax or like rising petrol prices, these three lorries went on I think it was either the M25 or the M1, and basically they just lined up next to each other and went really slowly, and so just absolutely stuffed the rest of the people behind them. There was massive outcries, you know, saying, you know, what's going to happen, but I don't think anything happened to them. And yet again, with something like Black Lives Matter as well, it's kind of that, you know, why are they getting persecuted over people who've done things that are maybe a little bit more disruptive?
I mean, it's interesting. You can kind of make the distinction between the two different sort of goals that the protesters are going to try and achieve. So if you're trying to protest a particular tax or something like that, then you're maybe not going to... You're going to protest to the point where you're going to achieve the goal that you set out to attain. Whereas what these protesters are trying to raise awareness of Black Lives Matters, and so they are going to cause... They're not aiming to get a particular law overturned or anything like that. They're trying to cause the maximum chaos possible so that the most people hear about it, which is kind of what's happened. And I think I mean they seem to have caused quite a lot of chaos, and if that is against the rules, which it seems to be a way of interpreting it, but it does seem to be against the rules, I do think it's reasonable to get them to pay the court costs, and I also think it's reasonable to not fine them on top of that.
Bobby, do you think that, like, protests are successful generally? Like, I think it was Stop the War after the government announced it was going to put troops in Iraq. And you had, I think that was the highest amount of people in a protest in the UK. But it was like 1.5. Yeah, sorry, 10.
A million.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said 10.
More than 10.
Wait. But it, you know, ultimately, obviously, it wasn't successful. Whereas, you know, do you think strategies like this are more successful? We recently saw as well that the Polish women who were protesting against the I think it was an abortion ban or something like that, and they won basically. Mm. Do you think, you know, stuff like also teachers nearly always go on strike? You've had the junior doctors as well. Do you think it's a successful option to take?
Well, I think if we consider how the biggest protest in the UK ever, which was the 1 million. And the Stop the War march wasn't a success, maybe that just implies that the government are going to do whatever they're going to do, whether it's a million people protesting or 100 people protesting, and the amount of people isn't going to change that. It might be that they just feel a bit soft on a particular subject, so, oh, they'll let it slide, but if they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it.
And that's the thing, you know, often with the junior doctors' contracts or changes to the way teaching is done, this, you know, it's the decision has been made, the plans are in action. Like, why would they stop it now, even if there are a lot of people protesting?
Well, this is what I do have a sympathy with. If you're trying to raise awareness for something, then protesting, particularly if you don't have a big public platform. I mean, we see Gary Lineker raising awareness for all sorts of things. He's become quite a political voice. Whereas if you don't have this big platform, then I do have a sympathy for people who are raising awareness by protesting. I do also agree that in terms of getting the government to change their behaviours, I can't remember ever actually hearing about a protest that has resulted in the government changing. I'm sure I'm missing something obvious, but I'm thinking about Stop the War and the junior doctors and all sorts of things. So I come from Buckinghamshire, where there's a lot of protests against HS2, which are incredibly bad for the local areas. Kind of this not in my backyard kind of idea, where they're saying, well, it's going to come through our, we don't want train lines across our countryside, whereas actually the government's decision has been made. The local MP is going to vote against it because he wants to continue to get voted in, but actually everyone's kind of aware of the situation, that it doesn't matter how much you protest, the government's going to go ahead because they've decided that it's best for the country.
This is URN, The Pulse.